Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 through 33. We are on the closing sermon on marriage, and I hope and pray that for you who are married, that it has meant something to you. I pray that it has and will make a better difference in your life in following God's plan. So let's just read. We're going to be on verse 33, but I want to start with verse 30. And I'll read the white and you read the yellow. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And the two shall become one flesh. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Great. A while back, I decided I was going to help Deb because she had so much going on at the house and had things going on at the church that I really felt like I needed to jump in and kind of rescue her and help her with the household chores. And so one of those chores was to do laundry. Because we both had been working so hard that we needed to make up on the laundry. And so I separated the whites and darks. Yes, I listened. Okay. And I felt pretty good about myself. So I started with the whites and I decoded all the buttons. I didn't realize how many buttons are on washers and dryers. They just get more and more complicated. Pretty soon it'd be remote control, right, just to use them. Well, I decoded those buttons and the lights and everything, and I washed and dried the first load. And as I was pulling the clothes out of the dryer, I noticed one of the grandkids' sweaters. And I was trying to figure out which grandkid is that. And it was such a cute sweater. In fact, I remember even Debbie having a sweater very similar to that. And but I never saw him wear it at the same time. So Debbie came into the laundry room, and I asked her about the sweaters, and her eyes grew very wide. And long story short, it turns out it wasn't the granddaughter's sweater. And I mean, it shrunk so small. And I discovered that the designers on clothes, on these garments, a lot of times have special instructions. Okay, and this is washing and air drying on delicate, that kind of thing, with the sweater. And I assumed the clothes were clothes, and then everything could be treated pretty much equal in this day and age, right? I mean, we have all the science behind us, and as a result, her sweater went down to a grandchild, okay? And of course, you know how that goes, it was her favorite sweater, always, right? You know, when it comes to marriage in our lives, we often find similar tragedies. Couples fail to read the designer's instructions or follow them, and consequently, there is ruin in their lives in marriage. Now, the question has to be asked in verse 33, what is love and respect? When Paul says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. We believe from this passage that love best motivates a woman, and respect is most powerfully motivates a man. And research reveals that during this marital conflict, when the marital conflict has been, but the husband most often reacts to feeling disrespected. And the wife reacts when she feels unloved. And a research group called the Decision Analysts did a national survey on male and female relationships, 7,000, and asked this question: when you are in a conflict with your spouse or significant other, do you feel unloved or disrespected? What do you think? Yeah, 83% of men said they felt disrespected, and 72% of women responded unloved. Even though we need both, we need the love and the respect, the felt needs different during conflict, and this difference is night and day. So the poll question validates what our designer instructions gave us for a husband to love and learn love, and a wife to respect and learn respect. And I say that because, ladies, it is your job as a helpmate to teach your husband how to love. You know that men don't come by that naturally. Have you discovered that yet? Okay. And women, your husband can teach you respect, what respect means. And I think that's our job. So let me address the husbands first, okay? Men, real love is not flowers once a year or doing the dishes hoping your wife's in the mood, okay? Real love is self-sacrificial servanthood. Real love is taking my home is my castle crown off your head, wrapping a towel around your waist, and serving your wife. Real love is putting your self-interest aside in honoring, blessing, and serving that wife. Now hear me on this. Love is focused on providing for the needs of your spouse. The outward expression is sacrificial service that flows from the heart towards and turned towards your spouse. And I'm not talking about serving when it's convenient or advantageous. It never is, right? Nor am I talking about serving as long as she responds correctly. I'm talking about serving as a lifestyle. I'm talking about doing self-sacrificial work of discovering her needs and providing for her. In his book, Love and Respect, Emerson Eggerichs describes how love meets a wife's needs. And I want to say this for a minute. I met him. I was at bookseller's convention. I think you might have met him too. But I went up to him and I said, "You know what? You stole my material. I wanted to write a book on love and respect." And he laughed. And he goes, "Do you have any other ideas?" Great guy. Wrote a great book. And he has an acronym, COUPLE, merely to help you start thinking how to love your wives, men. And it's in your bulletin, okay? And it's by Doug Flanders I'm going to give that couple. But Doug Flanders wrote an article on 25 ways to love your wife. That's in your bulletin. And just take a look at it. I have one for the husband and I have one for the wife. And you can take a look at that. But here's the acronym, closeness. Man, she wants you to want to be with her. She is relational. Openness. Oh, she wants to know what is happening in your world, especially relational, and you know hers. You. Understanding. Don't try to fix her, just listen. I'm telling you guys, if I can give you one piece of advice, quit fixing her and listen. Listen. Okay? Sorry about that. Peacemaking. She needs you to say, "I am sorry." And man, maybe it's good for you to stop and evaluate. How many times have you really told your mate you're sorry? Loyalty. She needs to know you are committed. And esteem. She needs to be honored and cherished. Now, let me address the wives. The poll I mentioned suggests that the designer's instruction were on spot when the Bible tells the husband to love his wife. And they are also on spot when it tells the wife to respect her husband as well. Respect is an inherent part of the word hupotasso, which is the word submit in the Bible. When we first got to Ephesians 5:22, a yielding, a submitting and wives are to submit, and so much so that the scripture uses the word respect when it comes to this word, and it actually has a root word of fear in it, meaning a fearful respect, not an afraid respect, but a fearful, strong respect for the husband. Men are geared towards respect and need respect. Just think about this for a minute. Men kill men over disrespect. Do you know that? Road rage in men is often because a driver doesn't respect another driver. Men are wired to need respect. And when the wives look down on, demean, scold, ignore, and distance themselves or show contempt, you know, rolling in the eyes and contemptuous talk. Or when women refer to their husbands as Neanderthals, idiots, dense, lazy, the relationship erodes. However, it is amazing what happens when a wife follows the designer's instructions and gives her partner respect. Just think about the courtship days when you were courting and you admired your future husband, you thought a lot of him, and that's why he married you. Wives, I want to give you an acronym and provide you with some ideas on how to respect your husband, and I came up with just WIFE, W-I-F-E. I give you these merely to help you start thinking about how to meet your husband's need for respect. As I said before, Jennifer Flanders, Doug's wife, gave us 25 ways to show her husband respect. That also is in the bulletin, okay? Here are my suggestions. W, work. Honor his desire to work. He's occupational. To achieve, to provide, to protect. We are occupational, not relational. I, intimacy. Recognize his desire for sexual intimacy. F, friendship. Appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder partnership and desire for a safe relationship at home. E, executive. Respect his desire to lead and set a course for the home and be his helpmate and help him with that. I want to bring back the verse. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. You know, when I read that, I think, you know what? This is a radical counterculture way to look at marriage. It's based upon a covenant between a man and a woman being one flesh, having equality, each spouse having a specific role in that pledged relationship. But what is the countercultural that is in marriage? It is reflecting Jesus Christ. You remember the verse that had, we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? That's with Jesus Christ. A marriage following the designer's instruction is possible when Jesus Christ is Lord in the home. Everyone is in submission to him. Otherwise, you shrink your possibility of having what God desires for you in marriage. You can't do it on your own. You need help. I've been really meditating on Galatians 2:20. I love that verse. Has had a lot of meaning in my life, and I want to share this with you. I have been crucified with Christ. Listen to me. When Christ hung on the cross, that applied to us, and we were crucified with him on that cross. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Does that match what we're talking about? Yeah. That's just another way of saying whatever God says, I must do. God knows I can do it, and I can do it because Christ lives in me and provides for me grace and the power and the insight to serve him. Listen to me. Some of your marriages are spiraling downward right now, and some of you don't even know it. And you're moving to dangerous places, dangerous phases in your life. I want to give you three simple phases. Phase number one, the ideal. Lord, this is great. What a great wife I have. That's engagement and just a little tiny bit into the beginning of the marriage. Phase two, the ordeal. Lord, this is not turning out the way I expected it to turn out, right? Phase three, looking for a new deal. Lord, maybe I married the wrong person, and maybe my soulmate is really still out there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I dare say that yielding to God and following his designer's instructions has that potential to restore and rekindle your marriage. Someone needs to step out in obedience in your marriage and do the right thing. I've stated in the last few sermons that the issue is not what your mate is doing. It is what you are doing, right? So here's the question as we close. Are you following the designer's instructions in the way that you treat your spouse? Pretty simple question. The question is, do you? I mean, to have this Christ-centered, countercultural marriage, you need a radical dependence on Christ that expresses itself in radical obedience. So the question is, what are you going to do with your marriage? Wouldn't it be unbelievable if we all really listened to God in a marriage, just in this community here? What that would do in the change of this church. Let's pray.